Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Well, let's get into the Word of God very briefly this morning. Hallelujah. So, we're going to continue to expand on this motif that we've been studying so far on mountains, or to accurately call it the mountain, right? Because we're talking about the mountain of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you feel it already, but you're already on the mountain of the Lord. Do you know it? And when I say the mountain, I mean the mountain of the Lord, because there's really one mountain of the Lord. And the Lord used different mountains to show where he was on that heaven on earth place. And by now, I believe that everybody should understand, and we've been able to establish, that Eden must have been on a mountain. Do you agree? Yes or yes? Yes or no? Any no's in the house? Okay, so everybody, yes? So Eden must have been on a mountain. And that was the heaven on earth experience, because God was in that place, a physical location. But yet, it was a spiritual location at the same time. So there can be places on the earth where man steps into, and there's an overlap of heaven and the earth, like where we are. Do you believe that? Oh, you don't seem sure. Am I in the right place? Did I step into the right meeting? Okay. Where there can be an overlap between heaven and the earth, and where we can say, this is heaven on earth. And I showed you that God's idea is not for us to have two separate realms. God's idea is for us to have what? An overlap. To have many spots, actually, for the whole earth to be heaven on earth. For the spirit realm to overlap this natural realm. And for us to be able to step into God's presence at any point in time. Hallelujah. Can you say a big amen to that? But yet for a time, because of sin, we're not yet experiencing that. But the moment the believer got saved, he became open to the consciousness of heaven again. That in moments like this, when we just pray, you might be here in Eden Center, Yaba, but at the same time, you can step into heaven. I thought I spoke about your life there. That you can be in your room one moment, and the next moment, you are in heaven. That you can just come back from work, and Lagos traffic has been disturbing you, and everything has been rough. And maybe you have... Sorry, let me not call names. I wanted to mention one driver in this place, but it's weird. And so you are tensed. But you step into your house so stressed, and the moment you get to your bed, you just begin to pray in the spirit. And all of a sudden, you're in heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And we've been able to establish that. You see, the believer is a spirit being that lives in a body. You are truly spirit. The real you is spirit. But you live in a body. And because of that, you can function in this realm. But the part that you miss out is that you are spirit. Meaning you can function in that realm as well. Meaning for you as a believer, you have the best of both worlds. You didn't hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Say with me, say I have the best of both worlds. You don't seem sure. Say I have the best of both worlds. Meaning I have the best of this earth. But I also have the best of heaven. I can discern the spiritual, and I can also discern the natural. So I have the best of both worlds. And yesterday we came to a point where we realized, like I said, that God's plan is not just for man to come up to the top of a mountain to meet with him. No. God's plan is that God wants to bring the mountain to your neighborhood. Do you believe that? And so we started a journey of showing that when God wanted to come to the Israelites at first, He came to them on the top of the highest mountains. But after that, he started showing them that my plan is not for you to come up to the mountain to me. My plan is that I will come down on earth to you. And that led to the introduction of a spiritual technology. That spiritual technology is called altars. Have you ever heard of the word altars before? What did I call the name? What did I call the name? Altars. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, from verse 22. Altars. 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 Oh. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're there, say I'm there. Read together like a mass choir. One, two, go. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. Next verse, what does it say? You shall make for me. And your peace offering, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Hallelujah. This is God telling them how to go about the technology of altars. But there's something interesting that God says here. He says, wherever I record my name. What does recording his name mean? Will he write his name on the floor? What does recording his name mean? An encounter. So recording his power, his authority, wherever you see a manifestation of his power, he says, I will come to you. Now, anybody who has been following this study will think back, but God, you only came to them on mountains, but now you are saying, wherever they see the manifestation of your power, you will come to them. And in that place where they are seeing the manifestation of your power, you called it an altar. You said they should slaughter sheep and rams and all of these things in that place. And you will come to them in that place. You see what I just read to you? The Bible calls the law of altars. And God is giving specifications for the operations of this technology. Altars existed before this point. But in this, God is trying to show them how to distinguish altars that are meant to him and altars that are meant to other gods. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? So he says that in any place where I record my name, I will come to you there. Is someone following me today? Is someone following me today? And now, the God who used to come to them on just mountains before is saying that when you have an altar, I will come to you. Are you getting what I'm teaching you today, somebody? You see, I told you before that mountains are that heaven on earth spot where heaven meets the earth. The top, the highest point of the mountains is the place where the gods can descend to. And because if a man goes to that place as well, he is in some way both in heaven and on earth, like Moses was at the top of Mount Sinai. He was both in heaven and on earth. He was in a physical place on the top of the mountain. But the Bible says that God showed him for 40 days the way heaven looked and told him to go and replicate it on the earth. Are you following me? This means that wherever God comes to and descends to a man, like on the top of that mountain, that man can experience heaven on earth. Are you getting this? If God then says he comes to a place called an altar to reveal himself, it means that on altars you can also experience heaven on earth. Am I teaching you something today? On altars, you can experience what? Heaven on earth. So God is saying, I'm not restricted to the mountains. There are altars of encounters where I can reveal myself to you. Are you getting this, somebody? So, altars many times are products of encounters, but sometimes men themselves can erect altars. And the goal of altars is to mark divine spots. So this is what I'm saying. If you have an encounter with God in a spot, and if you are in the Old Testament days, you can mark an altar in that place. And like Abraham, you can say, God was in this place, right? Bethel, this is the house of God. Like Jacob, you can say, God was in this place. I did not know it. But sometimes, You will not need God to have done something before you erect the altar in the name of God. And God says, wherever that happens, I will come to you. Are you listening to me, somebody? Are you learning something today? And so the goal of altars is to mark divine spots or places of divine presence. So ideally, like I taught you, God's presence is supposed to cover the whole earth. Revealed on mountains first. But now men can build altars and give sacrifices to God. And that spot that they give sacrifice becomes heaven on the earth. A hot spot for the divine presence of God to be manifest on this earth. You know, the Bible tells us about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Are you all there? All right, read together. Genesis 12, 7. 1, 2, go. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham. So what happened here? God met with Abraham. Abraham had an encounter. God told him that to him and his descendants, he will give them all the lands. And what did Abraham do there? He built an altar. Why? He has experienced God in that place. Listen to me. Some of you have had places of encounters, but you've not regarded them the way they should be regarded. God has met with you in certain places. You have had encounters upon encounters, but you've not learned to mark those experiences as life-changing experiences. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of you, if you ask your parents, they'll tell you the day they were saved, the place, the year, the time. But maybe it's not valuable to you, that's why you did not mark it. I'm not saying you did anything wrong by not marking it. I'm saying that there'll be encounters in your life that you must be intentional about marking. Listen, meetings like this, for example, mark encounters in the lives of some of you that have changed your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Meetings like this changed my life. I remember in a special meeting like this, I was called up. I was sitting somewhere to the right here. And I was asked to repeat, Holy Ghost. I said, Holy Ghost, I'm ready. I said, I'm ready for all that you have for me, for all you have for me in this meeting. And then a prophecy came to me about my teaching ministry and everything about me going to the next level. And the next year, everything about me skyrocketed. I will never forget. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I will never forget. I remember meetings when I prayed hours like you are praying, and God did a work in me. I will never forget. These are special moments that change your life. You know, the Bible tells us about another experience with Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Are you following me, somebody, today? Genesis 22, 2, 1, 2, go. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Hallelujah. So what is happening here? He's going to build an altar. Because if he's going to make a sacrifice, he's going to put it on an altar. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Altars are places of sacrifice. But where is he going to do it? Okay, now you're following me from yesterday, have you? On a mountain. So he goes to the top of the highest mountains. I'll call it that, but it was not the highest mountain at the time anyways. But he goes to the top of the mountain. And then you're seeing the mountain motif here again. And then he goes to offer his sacrifice. But you have to understand what is going on here. God is requesting the most important thing to Abraham. His son. Maybe you don't know how long Abraham waited for this child. He waited for a long time, and God finally answered and said, you know what? I will give you a child. The child that you have in your house, that your slave, will not be your child, but you will have a real child that will be yours. Then God blessed him and said, in your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Meaning that if anything will happen through Abraham, it will be through Isaac. Did you hear what I said? If the prophecy of all the nations, him being the father of many nations, will happen, it will be through Isaac. So you've been barren all your life. God now gave you a child and told you that through that child, his second prophecy of you being the father of many nations will be fulfilled. Then one day you wake up and he says, go on the top of that mountain. Slaughter that boy. give him to me. Will you do it? I like that you're honest. Some of you don't even say yes. You don't even lie to yourself. God, I understand though. My God does not take back. You are the God of no take back. Hey, if he has given, he gives. You see, there's a theology to outstretch arm. He never folds. Deep. Some of you will explain it with theology. You will find biblical texts to prove why you cannot give back that child. You say, will God withhold what he has? Hey, Jesus. But are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? But Abraham goes to the top of that mountain and he makes that sacrifice because he's about to. He was about to before he was stopped. And so in his mind, he had given up that child, knowing that if God says I should bring the child, it means God has a plan to give him back to me. Even if I kill him, God will bring him back. Hey, is someone learning what I'm saying today? And just as he was about to kill the boy, that's why it's good to hear stop. Oh. Some of you here only go. All your prophecies, God said you should go. The door is, oh, you have never heard the door is closed before. Change your ways, please. God also says stop. If all you hear is go, go. You say, sister, I need you to pray for me. You say, hey, it is done. It's open. You know what I'm talking about. There are some people that all the word they've ever given you, go. I see a door. You have never seen a door closed before. I see a door open. Oh, while I was praying, I saw a bright light and the Lord was, I was just saying, go. Go. Please, hear stop sometimes. See a door closed sometimes. Amen? Listen, you don't know how critical this is. You understand that Abraham would have killed Isaac if he did not hear the angel say, wait! Hey, some of you God has been shouting, hey, wait! You did not hear. Dream, it came. You interpreted it wrongly. Vision, you say, the devil was trying to play with me. Your pastor told you. You see, pastors, he was just advising, he didn't mean it. The one that you people don't hear the most, relation. I cannot be a relationship counselor. No, if you like, pay me $5 billion. Because relationship people will do what they want to do no matter what you tell them. And you are part of the leader, you're saying yes. You are part. All you hear is go. Do you know it can be the right person but not the right time? Did you hear what I said? It can be the right person conditionally too. Do you know not all prophecy God gives is for you to run and follow? Sometimes it's on condition. There are prophecies that God gave in scripture that were never fulfilled. It sounds like heresy to you. He gave them on the condition that something happens. So if this happens, this will happen. If it does not, it will not happen. So God has shown you the man fulfilled and finished that he has built in your dream. But the one that is right beside you is not complete, but you are going to be with him already. So now you've stepped into prophecy prematurely. And then you spoil it. Do you know anything that you get in for the time before you are prepared for it, you will damage it and it will never happen? The Bible says that God changed and he said, I will no longer curse the earth for the sake of man. When man fell, what did God do? He cursed the earth. And now, because of an altar that was raised, because of a sacrifice, God said, I will no longer curse the earth for man's sake, even though all the affairs of man are evil from when he is born. Meaning that God still knows that Noah will still break his laws, but yet because of that altar, God was willing to walk with him. Are you listening to me, somebody? God was willing to walk with him. So what is happening? And what are we learning? That when an altar is raised, it is raised with sacrifice. And when an altar of sacrifice is raised as well, you can make negotiations with heaven because of altars. Because in that place, you have a heaven on earth experience. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Let me give you another example. Listen, if you want to learn how to connect with the realm of the spirit and make transactions with the realm of the spirit, you have to understand the technology of altars. You have to. You have to. Are you listening to me? Genesis chapter 28. Everybody read together Genesis 28 verse 10. 1, 2, go. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. The Bible says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, the God of Isaac, and the land which you lie, I would give to you. Now, one thing that many people don't understand about the story is that that same place where Jacob is or was in this story was the same place that Abraham had raised an altar, but not the one in Moriah. It was the one in Bethel when God first gave him the prophecy of him being the father of many nations. So listen to me. An altar had been raised by Abraham at some point, and in that place, God told him about what will happen to him and his generation. And now Jacob came to that same place and unknowingly picks a stone of that altar. And even though the altar had crumbled, heaven was still there. Jesus. Did you hear what I said? So, Jacob picks a stone from that altar casually and he uses it to sleep. And the Bible said he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw angels ascending and descending. There was a ladder, first of all, from heaven to the from earth to the top of the heavens. I get what I'm saying. Now, let me show you some things that you missed from that story. That place was an altar. Heaven and earth had been set there, but something divine was going on there. And the first divine thing that you see that was going on there is that he says, go back to the text where he says he saw a ladder. Go back to the text where he says he saw a ladder. Are we there? What does he say? Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. Pause. First of all, I told you, this was Abraham's altar. Stones had crumbled, heaven was still there. But the second thing you will notice from this story is that the Bible says the ladder was set up from where? Or heaven. It was set up where? And its top reached what? So was it a ladder from heaven to earth or from earth to heaven? Are you learning something? You still don't get my point. Now, a divine experience is going to be initiated not from heaven to earth, but from earth to heaven. That just because there was an altar in that place and Jacob came there, by mistake, he had activated a portal to heaven. Amen? He had initiated something that gives him direct access to heaven. The Bible says that the end of the ladder was set on the earth, but it went to the heaven. And then he saw God at the top of it. Look at what he says there. It says, and there, angels of God were what? Did he say descending and ascending? It's not a mistake. If it was not about the order, he would have said the ladder was from heaven to earth and the angels were ascending or mixed it, but both of them started from the earth. Are you listening to me? He says the angels were what? Ascending. And so the first motion was upward. That means they were already here. That means by that altar, that sacrifice Abraham made, that place was already a spot where heaven overlapped the earth. And at any point in time, there was already angelic ministration in that place. Heaven was already active there. And so in the right time, when there needed to be a miracle, the Bible says that the angels were ascending. Are you listening to me? You see, a lot of times when you pray, you think that they will first come from there. But what if by natural altars that you've created that are also spiritual, you've already created heaven on earth, and the manifestations of the things you need will start from here, because God is already here. Jesus, am I preaching to you? What if your prayer room is already an altar set before God, and when there needs to be a manifestation, you just step in and you just understand, and you're like, what if the surrounding of your home is already heaven on earth, and when you need to make certain decisions, certain negotiations, you know where to go? That's why there are systems on the earth that can affect things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? This is what heaven on earth truly is. Guess what? Jesus quoted this text and did not change the order. He spoke to Nathanael and he says, you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. If the order was wrong, he would have corrected it. Did you hear what I said? So when Jesus quoted it to Nathanael, he quoted it in the same order, that you will see angels ascending and descending from the Son of Man. So it was not a mistake. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? So what are altars? An altar is a divine strategy, a divine protocol for connecting with the realm of the spirit, a divine method to experience heaven on earth, utilizing the appropriate sacrifices for each situation. I'll say it again. An altar is a divine strategy, a divine protocol for connecting with the realm of the spirit. A divine protocol for connecting with the realm of the spirit. A divine method to experience heaven on earth, utilizing the appropriate sacrifice as required for each situation. Are you learning something? So in Noah's situation, the appropriate sacrifice was something that was so dear to him. In Abraham's situation, the appropriate sacrifice was also something that was so dear to him. In your situation, the appropriate sacrifice will be something that is dear to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying kill your son. But I'm telling you that altars are marked by sacrifice. Are you getting something today? Now, because of time, I'm going to move on from there. So, what I'm trying to explain to you is this, that the base of the operation of heaven was already on the earth. Just by that. And that's why the Bible will say that he saw angels ascending and descending. So, the base of operation of heaven can be in your room, and you don't know it. But there are things you can do to set up altars of heaven in your room that can change the situation. And so, it means that man can continue to function normally, but a man decides that enough is enough, he can raise an altar and make a transaction that can change his life forever. Are you listening to me? Altars are technology for connecting to the realm of the spirit, technologies for transactions to happen. Are you listening to me? If a man wakes up and decides that it can be better, it will be better. If a man wakes up and decides, that's why I'm telling you that the infrastructure and the angelic ministration started from the earth. So if you decide to do something on the earth, in a heaven on earth place, you can make transactions that can change something. And heaven will agree with that transaction. Why? Where you are is heaven on earth. Are you listening to me? The day a man rises up and says, my life will be better, it will be better. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about talk. I'm talking about by the method, by the strategy of altars. The day you wake up and say it can be bigger, it will be bigger. You know, it was Kenneth Hagin who said, I know what to do to make the anointing greater in my life. I know what to do. Many of you know, but you are never ready to make the sacrifices. You can know what to do to make your ministry grow. You can know, but you're never ready to make the sacrifices. You understand the technology of altars, but you are not ready to make the sacrifices. You know what to do. In many cases, you do. You do. You know, because of time, I'll move. I can't tell lots of stories. Hallelujah. The mountain of God is where deliberations are made. It's where decisions are made. And now with the altar, or as a technology that you have, you can be in the throne room without being on a mountain. You can go to a place where deliberations are made. Didn't we make a deliberation here in Shekinah? Didn't we? We turned back the hand of the clock in Shekinah. You don't know. The clock had moved far, it had moved beyond our Lagos church. We said, God, we are sorry. If you will permit us, we will run. So what did we do? The Lord showed us that there was a sitting of the courtroom in heaven in that meeting. So that meeting had a heaven on earth experience. And we deliberated, we contended that, Lord, where is our part to play in what you are doing in Lagos? We know we've passed it, but give us back, please. Give us back, we'll stay. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you can shift things. I'm not saying that you change. If it is between the ambits of the will of God, you'll be able to shift it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Unless it's no longer God's will. It's not the first time this has happened. I remember Waterloo. How many of you know we do meetings in Waterloo Kitchener? You know, so we went there the first time. I had a vision, and in that vision, I saw somebody, and he was like, come. Then I saw people behind him. They were like, come, bring the gospel here. We need the gospel here. I finished praying. I told the people I was praying with, this is the vision I saw. Two people confirmed it. They saw the exact same thing. I said, Lord, what are you saying? We don't know anybody there. I think we knew only one person there as well. Is it not the same as our Windsor church? We don't know anybody. How do we do this? We said, okay. So we loaded this church. We now get prophecy. Don't worry. You guys don't know, but you literally almost prophesy everything that happens in my life before it happens. Do you know? A week before I got my car, someone put it on the group chat. I just never told you. We'll talk about it. Now, we loaded all the instruments from church into my car. We said, okay, we're going to do it. And I was sleeping one day and I woke up and God said, make a sponsored post on Instagram. Tailor it to Kitchener. Pay so amounts for it and watch and see. We rented the hall. We went to the space. We did not know anybody. The hall was full. It was a small hall, but it was full. I get what I'm trying to say. Now, after that, I got so busy with work that year that I couldn't go back again. There was no time. It was already a lot doing 9 to 5, now doing midnight to morning again, trying to prepare for ministry, to teach you guys. I never stopped teaching you, but it was a lot of work. So I couldn't go back to Kitchener. By the next year, if it was some of you, you would still go. But I could not go. We had to pray and ask, God, is this still in your will that we go? If not, we stay. We stay. So what did we do? We raised an altar of prayer. We started waiting on the Lord. And the moment the Lord told us, the door is still open. What do you think we'll do next? We carried everything again. Went to do a meeting. After that, the most recent meeting, we did 2. We did a meet and greet. We did this one. Now, we're going to hold monthly meetings in Kitchener. I get what I'm trying to say. From the last meeting we had, from that second meeting we had, I had about 7 to 10 disciples. I was teaching them every week for 6 months. I told them it would be 3 months, but you know me now. 6 months! Now, majority of them follow the work and are ready for what we're set to do in Kitchener. I listen to what I'm saying. But what if I could not raise altars? What if? Just what if? There are things in your life that look like they've passed by you. But if you understand the technology of altars, you God sometimes permits that you are able to shift things back and say, Lord, I'm still here. Please, if you will just pity me. You know, you say, God, I die, I day. Help me. Help me. I won't do your will, Lord. Help me. Now die, I day, God. Help me. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Some of you cannot cry to save your life. Me, I will be a chief crier. God, I'm sorry. I know I did not help me. If only it's your will. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? You know, people who practice negative spirituality. Timothy, understand this, Timothy, you. They use altars to engage the supernatural. You that has the real thing, you don't know how to. Have you read in the Bible where it says that Israel was waging war and a king took his firstborn and he killed him? Did you hear what I said? He killed him. And the Bible says the indignation was raised against Israel. Now, here's the problem. God did not fight against Israel. No. The guy believed that if I kill my child, this our God that we serve, the false God, he will respond. He will respond. Either or not, it was true, because their God cannot fight against Yahweh. But the fact that he believed it enough to kill his child, meaning he gave a sacrifice, knowing that he can make a negotiation in the spirit. Now, I think Israel probably left him because why you go kill your child? Why you go, bro? You know, they all retreated. In his own mind, he might think that's why, but it's not because of that. I get what I'm saying. Israel retreated. I don't know why, but it might have been just because they looked at him and said, bro, he never reached that one. And I just war with the fight. Go kill your first boy. I know Yahweh hates the killing of children. He can't do that. What did they do you? But I'm saying, people that practice negative spiritualities understand the infrastructure of altars. And here we are. You can't sacrifice even your food. How many days of fasting are we doing now? How many days? 50 what? 54. Some of you don't even know. Say, sir, even Jesus did 40 days. Now here I stop, sir. Igwe, you deserve the award, sir. But are you following me, somebody? So, what I'm saying in essence is that altars are God's wisdom to help you take control. God's wisdom to help you step into heaven, where deliberations are made, where governance happens, where things change. When you understand altars, you can understand your portion in a walk. When you understand altars, you can ask God, God, what is my share in what you are doing in this city? What is my portion in what you are doing in my local assembly? How will I participate? What am I supposed to do? Are you following me, somebody? So if they understand it, how much more you that serves the living God? It means that you can do something in the wisdom of God that can change your situation and your life forever. Are you listening to me? What are the sacrifices of the New Testament? Prayer. Prayer is one sacrifice of the New Testament. So what's going on here in the scripture? Altars were physical locations where sacrifices were made. But very soon, altars became what? Tents. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Tents. And then very soon, instead of killing something in the altar to bring to God, those things were taken away to the tent. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The tabernacle. And that's where it was done. And then after that, tents became what? Temples. And so, the use of altars were completely reduced so that you don't mix the altar of Yahweh with the altar of false gods. So anybody that wants to bring a sacrifice, bring it to the temple, but now you can begin to make prayers because you've sacrificed. Are you getting my point? So because you've done the right thing in the temple, you can go home. The Bible says that Isaiah came to Hezekiah and told him, you will soon die. Before Isaiah went back to his house, Hezekiah faced the wall and prayed. And God told Isaiah, come back and tell him, I've added 15 more years to his life. You don't understand what I'm showing you. I say things can shift. Shout glory! No shout now. You no shout. You all raise up there. You don't want shout. Okay. But are you getting my point? Because of time, I'm skipping it. You can read that in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Or 38, rather. Isaiah 38, 1 to 5. Are you learning something today? But by the time you get to the New Testament, there are no need for physical altars anymore. Because the final altar was at Golgotha. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all. So we no longer need to pay that physical sacrifice anymore because we stand on his sacrifice. I get what I'm saying. But there are sacrifices that we will now need to make. And they will be in things like prayer, time, consecration. Are you guys what I'm teaching you today? You can raise an altar. Tell the person beside you, say you can raise an altar. This means that anything that the believer does to present a sacrifice to the Lord consistently has become an altar. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So the new altar of the Lord is your heart. Are you guys what I'm trying to say? It's the place where those sacrifices can be made to God. And God will receive it as sweet-smelling savour. So when we talk about sweet-smelling savour, you have to understand that what we are talking about is sacrifice. If prayer can be soothing and be a nice scent to God, then prayer is a sacrifice. Are you see what I'm saying? Anything you do in purpose to give glory to God can be a sacrifice. Are you getting this? So why do you think that a person that wakes up at 1 a.m. to pray can shift things, and you are there complaining? We have the same Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah. Continue. You have the same Holy Spirit, but you've not raised the same altars. The person understands how to engage the spirit realms to make things work. You don't understand. You say, pastors, we all of us can know what pastors do now. I have the same Holy Spirit, Baba Adeboye. Kenneth Hagin, we have the same Holy Spirit. Kenneth Hagin, yeah. If you just come by the Holy Ghost, you don't know the altar that man raised. Kenneth Hagin said, for almost 2 years or more, he sat down, or actually months at a time, then in another period he would do it. He opened his Bible to Pauline prayers. He divided his Bible, put Pauline prayers there. And every day, at least 3 times a day, he will go there and pray the Pauline prayers, that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened, that I may know the hope of his calling. He will read it every day, sometimes 4 or 5 times. If he's not preaching in church, he will open it again. We kneel down, we will pray. By the end of a period, he started seeing angels. God started showing him. You say, hey, are you listening to me, somebody? Pray the Pauline prayers consistently. What is he doing? He's raising an altar. So your mate is praying 1 a.m. praying, spending all the time praying. Say, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Hey, you, the only altar you have raised is rookie. How to get away with murder? That's the altar. You know you're always raising altar. Is it not to God? You have to hear it. And some of you, your altar is demonic. What are you doing watching Downton Abbey? So is it that, where is that one that they were doing rubbish just to kiss themselves like this? Bridgerton. You know, one of our, somebody in our church, I will not mention name, she will be posting screenshots on it saying, what happened to Sebastian? I don't know if that's boy's name. You say, Sebastian, she don't know how to say her story. I'll look at it, I'll just shake my head and say, in my mind, I'm praying that Lord, hope she's fast forwarding itself. Because you should not be watching itself. But okay, God, just I pray. I will not see another of our friends to respond and say, hey, some of them will not be arguing on their story. Who should Sebastian marry? Who should Catalina be with? Don't worry. See, listen to me. You can spend all your time telling people that wake up for midnight prayers, telling them that you are not really praying, you are just listening to other people pray, and you are just saying amen. And I know that many of you Christocentric and many of you prayer people, you feel like that. But what you don't understand is that the altar they have, you don't have. Shebi, they are saying amen, but they are awake in the midnight. What are you doing? You that you are praying the prayer yourself, you are not saying amen, but you are not awake. So only talk to them if you have an altar of your own. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not completely a big fan of saying amen, amen too. So because you don't pray, you are just saying amen. You understand what I'm trying to say? But at least they have an altar. And God is answering. You have many of your own, as God answered. I rest my case. You better look for results. Amen. So what you're trying to understand is that our goal in raising altars is not to shift the hand of God. No. No. Amen. Many times altars themselves will realign your heart. It would. If you raise altars to God for a particular reason, sometimes the altars will communicate the will of heaven to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is a very important principle for you to have heaven on earth experiences. Are you learning something today? Jesus wanted to start ministry. What did he do? 40 days in the wilderness. It's a protocol of the kingdom. You want to make transactions, spiritual transactions, have access to heaven. Raise altars. Raise altars. I'm telling you, altars can shift things. And the kingdom we belong to is a kingdom of exactness. Say a kingdom of exactness. Meaning that if we want to see particular results, there is what to do. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? If we want to see results, there's what to do. If you want your life to be better, there's what to do. If you want to stop a habit, there's what to do. If you take 90 days, you spend it judiciously in the Lord. You know, listening to sermons about dealing with addiction, praying every day, ensuring that there's no gap in 60 to 90 days, those addictions will disappear. There's what to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? You might have maybe one or two stumbles, but because you have spent 90 days, if you even fall only 3 times in the 90 days, you have won. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because that's probably the longest you've ever stayed away from sin. So sometimes it's not even about the time. Don't even start counting, okay, I did not study. Just focus. Focus. Raise an altar to God. So, some of you, if the Lord has called you, there are many things disturbing your altars. Better separate them now. Amen? What is disturbing some of you from raising altars? I'm sorry, it's parents. Some of you is more. But you will need to make a stand. And say, for my destiny, I know what to do. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something. He said many ministers die before even stepping into the first phase of their ministry. It was after 15 years of his ministry, God told him, okay, you're in phase one. He said, this now, phase one. Amen. So it means that some ministers will die before doing that for what that man did. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you better start early. You better raise your altar now. You better start to have results now. Are you learning something? See, some of you, your second house is supposed to be Redeemed Campo. Just go and rent all the room there. Because some of you, the war that you are fighting, you will need greater altars than you are raising. Are you getting what I'm saying? Greater altars than you are raising. So, just every weekend, where are you going? Let them even know you. You are not at home this weekend. Oh, what do you need money for? Let the woman that is open the door in the camp, let them know you. Sister Tolu, you're back again. Okay, this is the key. Just take half of your salary. Just deposit it to one room in camp. Just say, I'm coming here once a month. I need to spend time. You understand what I'm saying? Because what God has called you to do will need you to make some transactions. Sometimes the things that God told you 2 years ago might not be what His will is today. Because you didn't step into it when you needed to. So a lot of times, the leadings of God actually work with times and seasons. Don't miss this afternoon's teaching. It works with times and seasons. And so, because you raise frequent altars, you can. That's what I'm saying. Altars are mountain experiences. And so if that's where decisions are made, governance happens, it means that when you go to the place where you pray, you can hear what heaven is saying at this point. You can hear what God's judgment is about your future. Some of you should not be in certain cities till now. God has told you to move, saint. You are still here. Are you learning something? I don't have time, so let me move. Amen. 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 So, two things that I saw from Jacob's altar that I think should be important to you. Number one, Jacob said, this is the house of the Lord and I didn't know it. Meaning that altars are a place of communion, relationship with God. But the second thing he mentioned is that this is the gate of heaven, meaning it's a place of transaction too. So you must not forget those two things, communion and transaction. Say communion and transaction. Say communion and transaction. I'm not going to be able to say everything I prepared here, but I want to go into one final story that is a master class on understanding the importance of raising altars. And that's the story of Esther. Have you ever read the book of Esther? If you've not, I beg, go and read it. Not just the one that you want to name your child Queen Esther, you now want to go and read it. It's a virtuous woman. I'm not talking feminism reading here. Amen. You know what I'm saying now? She stands for more than feminism. You hear what I'm saying? Her story stands for more than feminism. And I'll show you. You see, did you even know the way Esther became queen? I think the name of the king was Xerxes, right? Something like that. And so, the guy was king, and actually is in history. Some part of this is in history, actually, really in history. You know, some part of it. Now, the guy needed a queen. And so, Esther actually had an uncle, Mordecai, who was, in some form, you can call him an intercessor, because this guy was standing for Jewish people while they were in exile. But he told Esther, he said, don't reveal where you're from. So when they wanted to choose a queen, they prepared them, took all of them, and she was part of the people they took. And the Bible says that she was fair to look at. Some of you, don't waste your beauty. Don't. Amen. There's purpose. Everything in your life can be used for purpose. Yeah? Amen. Shalabaratikai. Everything can be used for purpose. Don't waste it. So, you know, the way the Bible described that was funny. She was fair to look at. So, she was, and of all the ladies, the guy that they gave to take care of them, he chose her. He said, this one. So here is the thing that will happen. When they take you to the king will then choose, you know, of you or either reject you. So when they took her to the king, even the king was, guy was like, bro, who is his wife? Amen. Now, two things were happening in this story. On one end, Mordecai, her uncle, heard the conversation of some people that were plotting to kill the king. And so instead of, you know, them to do that, he went and he reported them and saved the king, and they gave him no reward. And this is a lesson for some of you. Don't do things just for rewards. There are some people you do things for. Don't remind them of the price. Some of you cannot do that now. I cannot even say the yes, sir. I'll be saying yes. When I say the beauty one, I say yes, sir. This one, I'm telling you, there are some people you do things for. Don't remember the price. Amen? Because a day will come, they will remember. Are you listening to me? They will remember. Not everything is about the, oh, gimme, 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 gimme. Mm-mm. Sometimes, if you can afford it, let it go. Amen? Let it go. And let your heart be like that. Not even because you are expecting something. Because some of you now say, in the day they don't, you now say, I remember that day, 2022, April. I did this, 2024, December, 7 o'clock, 2 seconds into this thing. You did. It's not about that. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Then they forgot him. But at the same time that Esther's story was brewing, another guy was there, Haman. And in Haman's story, something critical was happening. Haman hated the Jews with everything he had. And so he had planned and went to meet the king. And he said, see, I will pay money and even give you supplies. All I want you to do is for you to issue a decree that all Jews should be killed and annihilated from this land. Are you listening to me? So they decided, a decree was given that every Jew should be killed. So Jews became persecuted. And Mordecai heard about it. They started killing the Jews. Mordecai put on sackcloth. He first tore his clothes and started crying and wailing. and put on sackcloth. And then he went round the city. He was crying and shouting. Then he sent somebody to Esther. And you have to look at what he told Esther is such a statement of purpose that we must not miss out on. Go to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Some of you don't even know there's a book of Esther. Sorry. Hope you wore helmet for that sub. Esther. And when Esther see money, Esther bleach. How did that come to my mind? Ah, this is sad. Amen. Okay. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Now, everybody read this together because this is the story of your life. 1, 2, go. For if you remain completely silent in this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. Listen, Esther was in such a place of power. And Mordecai calls her and says, if you remain silent, help will come from somewhere else. Many of you are positioned so perfectly for God's will. But I'm telling you today, if you remain silent, God will raise another. Are you listening to me? That's what Mordecai was telling Esther. You are so situated in such a place that because you are the queen now, God has positioned you to be able to help your people at such an important time as this. And so he says, if you remain silent, help will come from another. Then what does he say next, everybody? Want to go. But you and your father's house will what? Who knows whether your job was given to you for such a time as this? Some of you have made the job your Lord, whereas your Lord put you in the job to serve him. Are you getting what I'm saying? You've reached a point, you can't even take one day of leave for camp. He's your Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He says, who knows that maybe you were put there for such a time as this. And I'm telling many of you that whatever sphere of influence you are in, God put you there for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Hallelujah. Are you all with me, please? Are you following me? He said, maybe you were put here for such a time as this. And so that was what Mordecai told her. And so she decided that, you know what? I'm going to take action. I'm going to go see the king. And I'm going to tell him, now, in the palace, you don't come to the king if he did not call you. So now, Esther has to show up to the king. And the only thing that will not make them kill you, if that happens, is if the king extends his scepter to you, and then you can come close to the scepter, and then they will not kill you, meaning the king accepts you. So I think this would mean that he has other wives, and he only calls the one that he wants at the particular time he wants them. And so she showed up there. But there's something that particularly happened that I want you to see. Go to Esther chapter 4, verse 16. No, is it 16? Yes, go to 16. Now, she was about to move. And everybody look at this. 1, 2, go. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan. And what? And what? What is she about to do? They're about to raise an altar. Fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days or night. It says, my maids will fast and I will fast likewise. Have you heard this story? Look at when Jonah went to meet those people. He said, even the goats will fast. There's all kinds of altar that you raise. It will touch everybody in your household. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I heard that my junior brother went to the house and then he met them there. And first day was doing a day. He had to call my dad. He said, they don't eat in this house. I need food. Because my sister is fasting. All of them in the house are fasting. There's no food. It will touch everybody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? To touch everybody. And so they fasted. And the Bible tells us. So now, you will see that, you will know that is the story, that Esther went to meet the king, but you will not remember that there were people fasting behind the scene. You will not remember that there was an altar that was raised. When altars are raised, two things will happen. Authority and favor will be present. Did you hear what I said? Authority will give you charge over a land in giving out, but favor will help you when you are receiving back. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then she went to the king, and he stretched his scepter forward. And then she was called closer. And then she could speak to the king and tell him what happened. And that was when she revealed to him that she was a Jew. Now look at Haman. Haman had planned. He went to tell his family. He said, Omo, the king is, you know, I'm going to do different things. He's going to exalt me more than he's exalting people. So Esther made a banquet and told the king. That's what she told the king when she went to meet him. She made a banquet and told the king to come. And she also invited Haman to come with the king. So Haman was ready. He said, Omo, he told his family members. He said, I'm the favorite of all. The king has called, the queen has called the banquet. And who else do you think that she will ask to follow? Me, of course. Who else? And so he went there. And at the point where the queen told the king what happened, the king then remembered Mordecai. I can't remember how the story went. But then he now said, if this guy did this and this, did anybody remember him when he did it? You see, you remember your money. Mordecai did not remember what, he did not remind anybody. The king then said, remember Mordecai. You know what? I want to bless him more than I've done for anybody before. So when Haman came, so proud, the king said, I want to thank a special man in this city. In Haman's mind, he was like, well, who else? Not me now. I said, tell me what I will do to him. And Haman was about to present to the king that he should kill Mordecai. Thank God he did not open his mouth at that point. But he later did, and I'll tell you the story. So the next thing, Haman was like, put him on the best horse, the king's horse. Put the king's robe on him. Let them march him around the city, holding the, you know, the horse, that he is the favorite of the king. Omo, now Haman march him. Haman hold the horse like this, they march Mordecai round the city. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's the same guy that was planning to kill Mordecai and end the whole story. Now, what is happening? Prayer is working and people are not knowing. Altars are working and people don't know that altars are working. And there and then at that point, the queen then speaks and says, there's a decree on my people. Please, remove it. You know how prayer works. Haman was right there. And then the moment the moment Esther told the king what happened, I can't remember how the story went, Haman decided that he was going to beg Esther and say, please, I'm sorry for what I've done. So the king looked back and he said, now you want to sleep with the queen? Haman was not trying to sleep with the queen, no. I said, for that reason, there's a pole that Haman had built for Mordecai in his house. He said, hang him on that pole, kill him there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in this situation, you are seeing favor work out. You are seeing what people thought for bad become good because some people decided that they will pray and they will raise an altar. This is the power of altars. That favor will come your way because you could just raise an altar to God. And even people that you don't know are attacking you, you won't attack them, but they will meet their end. Imagine that even situations that you did not plan, everything will find a solution. That authority and favor will go your way just because you raised an altar. Are you getting what I'm saying? Rise to your feet, everybody. Just because you raised an altar. This is the power of raising altars. And I hope I've been able to stir up something in you that would help you understand that if you could just raise an altar, answers will come. Lift your hands and say, Father, as I raise altars of prayer, I shift things in my direction. Favor follows me. Angelic ministrations follow me. And I begin to see results. Begin to pray right now. Shata latena kaparia takaparia. Senda latana kaparia takaparia takaparia.